Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Love to have company on this Saturday afternoon. Brett Finch is with us for Wendell Sale today. Ryan Girdler, James Hooper and Tony Squires make up the team. Plenty to get to. We're going to chat with Brad Arthur, the Eels coach, very shortly. We'll put some things up on the NRL stock market as well. We're all heading, of course, to the game this afternoon. The Roosters taking on the Titans. And a great man, Peter Sterling, will join us at 2:30 to talk about that game and the other couple that are just sensational this evening. Of course, I'm talking about the South Sydney and the Warriors and, of course, the Panthers and the Dragons. Right now, though, it is time for this. James Hooper.
Big week coming up, Tone, isn't it? One of the best weeks of the year because the Origin teams get announced. So the Blues will be at the Star Monday evening. They've got the True Blues ball. So Freddie Fittler will be announcing his first team as the new Blues coach. And yeah, a lot of talk has been around the key positions, but especially fullback. Does Tommy Turbo make it, or will James Tedesco hang on to his number one jumper? I reckon Teddy's got his nose in front, Tone. I think Teddy will be in the side, provided he gets through today's game against the Titans okay. And then I think there'll still be a place for Tommy in the team as well, but I reckon Tommy more than likely will be on the right wing.
Okay. We're going to hear Brett Finch's side at 2 o'clock as well. So James Tedesco, his form has been getting steadier and steadier and steadily better each game. Has these combinations, I guess, so important with Cooper Cronk and Luke Keary, another name being mentioned as a possibility in the hunt.
Yeah, it took Teddy a little while just to find his feet with the Chooks, and obviously they had a new halfback in Cooper joining the side as well. So just feeling each other out a little bit. But thankfully, I think over the course of the last month, since the Roosters have changed their style a little bit, that's suited Teddy better. He can just push up in support as he likes to and be around the ball. And look, he's lightning fast, so all he needs is half an opportunity, and you know that he won't let you down in that respect. And most importantly, he's been at Origin level. Whenever he's been selected, he's always been one of the best players on the field. So he's proven that he is a big game player. You touched on Luke Keary, Tone. I reckon he's a damn good chance too. I reckon he's a really, really good chance to be the 5'8", and then I think they're just working out whether they go with James Maloney at halfback or whether, depending what happens tonight in this crucial game with the Panthers and the Dragons, perhaps if Nathan Cleary brains him and doesn't show any signs at all of that knee issue, or I think he's going to state a really strong case too.
Luke Keary, of course, down that the combinations, if they meant anything, if it was him, Boyd Cordon, if Latrell Mitchell got in there, of course, that left side would look pretty impressive.
Yeah, I reckon Latrell will be in there on that left side. And, I think, it's a dangerous attacking combination, isn't it? We've seen it over the course of this year. Just get better and better between Latrell and Luke. And, it's a strong combo.
All right. What else does the Fox say?
Look, a little bit of talk around Moses Emboy, a lot of talk around Moses Emboy at the Bulldogs and whether he's going to stay there next year. I don't think he will be, Tone. I think he's definitely going to go to the West Tigers. They are keen, and they are currently trying to negotiate terms for an exit for Moses. It won't be before June 30, from what I've been told. But most certainly, I think Moses is keen to go to Concord, keen to play under Ivan Cleary. They see him as their fullback. Provided they can land the signature, I think it's going to happen. And look, are going to be a great signing. I can't believe, Finchie, that the Dogs are entertaining letting Moses go. I think he's been one of their best players.
Yeah, with all the big contracts there, you'd think Moses has lived up to his value more than anyone else there. And I've been really impressed. In a tough year, he's really stood up. And in a position he hasn't played in first grade either, he's been fantastic.
But you can only sell players that other teams want to buy. And I think that's the thing. You mentioned some of the other guys on bigger contracts who mightn't be in as good form. But then the club's going to need to make some sort of contribution. And then it, all of a sudden, it, it affects your salary cap, and you're not in that much of a better place than you were when you started. So Moses, they know that even though he's on good coin there, he'll attract that sort of money somewhere else, and it might be hard for him to let him go. But what are their options, given the fact that they're in such a poor position. Poor state, yeah, with their salary cap?
I reckon Moses will be a fantastic signing for the Tigers next year. I think he takes his game to another level in that side. Yeah. I just think it'll suit the style of footy that he likes to play more. And I think Ivan Cleary has shown that he can take players to better levels. And I just think that, it makes a lot of sense. As for the Dogs, look, there's going to be some tough times there. We've seen them speak publicly a lot over the course of the last fortnight about the salary cap jam that they're in. I see where Raylene Castle's in the paper today saying that it's not her fault. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how it had nothing to do with that Raylene tone, seeing as she was the CEO at the time. But anyway, that's what she's saying. So
yeah, well, she's got other problems on her hands now in rugby union, hasn't she?
There's a bit going on there.
Just tell me quickly the news that we're just hearing. The Dragons, and he's just a quality bench player, big man Leeson Armour. Every time he comes on, he makes a huge impact. Has been brilliant this season and last. Has he officially signed with the Warriors?
Yeah, he has. He's signed with the Warriors, so it's a 3-year deal. He'll head over there from next year onwards. I think he and his wife have both got family over there in Auckland, so it makes sense in that respect. And he's a good player, Leeson Armour. Punches above his weight, and he's a tradesman. He actually got the Dragons Player of the Year, I'm pretty sure, a couple of years back.
He punches through that line. He's absolutely an impact player. It's a huge signing for them, a great signing.
It is a good signing for the Warriors, yeah.
All right, thanks so much. What does Fox say? Exactly that right now. You Bet, your home for NRL betting in 2018. Just head to youbet.com, or of course you can download the You Bet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us now. G'day, Daff.
Hello, Tony.
All right, the Roosters, the first of these games this afternoon. You'd think that everybody on board?
Well, they are. I would have thought favourite punters, they got the fright of their life in both games last night, although they both won. But any amount of money today for the Roosters, $1.29 to win. The Titans are $3.75. That minus 9.5 points, that's well and truly gone. It's now 10 points, and that's into $1.85. So a stack for the Roosters.
Wow, what about the first try scorer, Daff? Latrell Mitchell scored 4 tries in his last 2 matches against the Titans. What's the market there?
He's a really popular player. We've got 2 that stand out in the whole competition, that being Corey Oates and Latrell Mitchell. It was interesting listening to what you said before about the State of Origin selection, or potential selection there. He's a clear favourite, not so much price-wise, but money-wise he is. He's at $7, and at $9 behind him, we've got another 2 Roosters players in Tedesco, Manu, and also Ferguson, but Latrell Mitchell will stand out there with punters.
All right, Jeff, we know, of course, that the Origin sides are going to be named this weekend. We also know that Cam Smith won't be there, which makes the Maroons much tougher. Hashtag talk the Maroons up. What any changes in the markets?
Well, there was after that was announced. It hasn't really moved for a few days, Tony. I guess it will once the sides are named, but for the time being, game one, New South Wales, $1.60. Queensland, $2.40. They get their wish. They're outsiders. The line, they're 4 points. And to win the series, New South Wales, a little bit shorter at 155 and 245 for the Maroons.
They just don't get the trophy every year, Queensland. All of their Queensland punters get rich. They get rich because every year they go in as underdog and they win the series and they win plenty of money as well.
They're huge places at Noosa. I know that's what's going on.
It does sit very well with Queensland supporters, I can tell you.
Absolutely. Jared Daffy, thank you so much. You Bet, you're home for NRL season 2018. Download the You Bet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Going to name an unusual 1-17. It's not State of Origin. We'll get to that next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M NRL, Brett Finch, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. Brett Finch, there's been, for the past few weeks, I think Sterlo might have named a rugby league side with Birds as the surname, and you, of course, featured strongly.
He's been doing that for a few years.
Yeah, he loves that side. And your father, of course, great centre for the Dragons. He was also in the side. So I was thinking...
Was Cronin in it?
Crow.
Was Denny Peacock in there?
The Crow.
Peacock would have been in there.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was definitely there. So we were thinking more along the lines now, because I do like a player with 2 first names.
Were you thinking Fish, like Taylor?
What do you mean 2 first Taylor? Names?
Well, for example, the person who would coach this 1-17, in my opinion, the man we're going to speak to next, Brad Arthur.
What about Ricky?
Ricky Stewart.
Ricky Stewart.
Ricky Stewart, exactly.
Wayne Bennett.
Bennett as a first name.
Oh, yeah. Bennett.
Bennett's a first name, isn't it?
French. Yeah. They roll with Bennett over in Paris.
I'm looking for more than the traditional.
All right. I know that, Ryan Girdley, you're very good at these sorts of things. You've come up with Wayne Bennett for a start. Can we somehow quickly win 133353, if you've got somebody who we miss out who's glaringly obvious or is just brilliant, a footy team.
Okay.
Of two first names.
Okay, well, at the back I've got Gary Jack.
Oh, Gary Jack.
Then I move into Campbell Graham.
Oh, young South Sydney kid.
Brian Kelly, played last night. Latrell Mitchell. The Gold Coast Identity, Anthony Don, of course, is in there.
Yes.
They got the old Parramatta halves of the 80s, Brett Kenny and Peter Sterling.
Sterling
Mortlock.
Sterling
Then I've got Matt Scott, Danny Levi.
Matt Scott's of it. Danny Levi.
Shannon Boyd.
Okay.
Gavin Cooper. Chris Lawrence. I've gone for my old favourite, Ian Russell at lock.
Hey.
Then we've got the bench. We've got Benji Marshall.
Can you go with that?
Yeah, Corey Norman. Blake Austin. Michael Morgan. Johnny Simon.
Good side.
John Simon. This is
not
a good
much defence on that bench.
Then I've gone for it. No, there's not a lot. It's an extended bench. I've got Tim Grant on there. Suaso Sue.
Suaso Sue. Oh, that's good. So you've gone into your female.
Well,
that first
name. And then my last one, my 18th man is Robbie Farah.
What do you mean?
Farah
Fawcett.
That's my two.
Farah Fawcett.
That's
Brett Morris.
That's a good side.
That is a very good side. Have we missed anybody there in terms
James
of
James Graham?
Wade Graham?
Wade Graham.
All the Grahams. Yeah, I couldn't use more Graham. Than one.
Isaac Luke.
Yeah,
Isaac would also Luke. Get a run.
Michael Morgan.
He was exactly. on there. Adam Elliott.
Hey.
Bradley Clyde. Bradley Clyde.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Laurie Daly.
Daly Cherry, exactly. Curtis Scott, with there is. I think we have. Yeah. We've got it there. 133353 if we've missed
Greg
out.
Alexander.
How have you left Curtis Scott out?
Well, have you
he's suspended.
Brett Finch, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. We are about to catch up with Eels coach Brad Arthur. We had just named a team full of people with two first names. Apparently there were some glaring errors, or not errors, omissions.
Well, we only had one team.
Yeah, exactly. You can't name three or four teams. But let's see what the omissions
Curtis Scott
omissions
was suspended.
Were. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Richie has called 133353. G'day, Richie.
Wally Lewis, boy. For God's sake.
He should have been first person picked.
Well, I went with Kenny. I mean, many would have gone with Lewis. I went with Kenny.
He's always in the conversation. He Wally is. Lewis.
He was on
beautiful.
The table.
Thanks, Richie.
Great work, Richie.
What about Martin? G'day, Martin.
G'day, guys. My two best mates growing up through school were twins.
Yeah.
And although they weren't into the footy, their favourite player was Brent Todd.
Brent Todd.
Brent Todd.
Toddy.
Canberra.
Yeah.
That was their names.
Yeah.
Their name for Brent and Todd. Love it. Thanks, Martin. Another somebody else had called in saying we missed Jonathan Thurston.
Yeah.
Thurston
I'll
Howell
pay that.
The III from Gilligan's Island, I guess. All right, the great man has joined us right here, right now. Parramatta coach Brad Arthur. G'day, mate.
Hey, boys. How are we going?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. How are you feeling? Obviously, a difficult loss, a close one. I've read, though, and heard you talk about the fact that you feel you got something out of that game.
Yeah, look, I think probably for the last three or four games, we've been close to the better side, but we just, these games at the moment, we're finding ways to probably lose them, where these tight games last year, we found ways to win them, and there's not much in it, but, you know, in saying that, we're still a fair way away as well, so, but, you know, like the boys, the effort there, we've got to try and transfer that effort into wins now.
But yeah, I've heard people a lot of times over the years say when you're going through some tough times that you've either got to change the coach or you've got to overhaul the roster. Well, you're signed until the end of next season and there's nothing at the moment to suggest that you're not going to be there. But do you feel as though in terms of your roster, you need to make some changes?
Well, we've got 20 out of, we've got 20 players contracted for next year. So that, you know, if you bring, you know, we've got 10 positions available. You can bring some new faces in. We're in those numbers. We've also got a few blokes coming to their end of their career as well.
But yeah, you've had some I guess in early on in your career as a coach. You know, you had some salary cap issues and obviously some board issues out there at Parramatta. But you're able to win games during that period. Has this been a tougher period for you this year? The fact that everything off the field seems to be going okay, but you're losing the games on field.
yeah, look, no one's happy with what's happening with, you know, at the moment. We're not proud of it. It's very tough. But while ever the boys can, you know, maintain the effort and having a go, we definitely don't want to be putting up the white flag. But it's a tough period, and we just got to make sure that we improve from it. What we can't also do is start to lay blame or point blame at certain individuals or players, or, you know, everyone's got to take responsibility in the organisation, starting with me.
BA, last year was such a great year. Top four finish, early exit in the semi-finals, but all things pointed to another top four finish this year. How frustrating is it that it seems to have been a step backwards?
Yeah, it's very frustrating. The disappointment in the players, you know, coming off the field after a game, you know, they're gutted. Like, if anyone thinks that the boys are just going through the motions or they're content with what's happening, trust me, they're training as hard as ever. They're very positive down at training, and, you know, no one's looking to get away from any blame or looking at ways to improve. It is frustrating, but you've got to stick at it. You've seen with the Cowboys last night, you know, 3 or 4 minutes into the game, they dropped the ball over the line, and then with 5 minutes to go, you know, a try gets disallowed and goes against them. And when you're down the bottom, as we are now, everything, you know, we had probably 5 or 6 opportunities the other night. We bombed. Broncos had 3 and scored 3 tries from them. So just got to find a way to get a win and a couple of wins in a row, and then the confidence will build from there.
And you've been tinkering within the structure of the side. Corey Norman going to fullback, Clint Gutherson in the halves. That worked a little better.
Yeah, I think Normie was very good. He ran for 180 metres. He was heavily involved. Gutho, doesn't matter where we play him, he's going to play the same. You know, and he was over 100 metres with his running game now. And Mitchie was good too. He's just got to, you know, he's got the ownership of the team, and he's got to steer us around. And, you know, that's going to take time for him to get comfortable with that.
Just on Corey BA, there's been a lot of noise about him possibly being unhappy or him possibly looking around at maybe moving somewhere else. Can you clarify, where's that up to from your point of view?
We're all, you know, like me included, we there's a heap of players and myself as a coach contracted 2019, and that's where it's up to with everyone at the moment.
Okay. What about in terms of, there's also been talk about you didn't have a general manager of football. You haven't replaced having a general manager of football for quite a period of time. You're now actively looking to bring somebody in. Is that right? And do you think that that might have been a bit of an error on the club's part?
Look, that's, you know, at board level and with Bernie as the CEO, them decisions are made by them guys. You know what? That's for them to look at, and where everyone at the club is looking at ways to get better. And if that's a way of us improving going forward, well, I'm sure the club will, you know, be interested in that.
But would that make your life easier? Wouldn't it be? Like, you look at some of the other clubs. You look at Penrith, and you look at the Dragons, and the teams that are having a lot of success at the moment this year. Melbourne's got a bloke like Frank Panisi. Wouldn't that make your life as a head coach a little bit easier? Or
it would, but, you know, like, the club's gone through some real tough times on the back of, you know, when the salary cap stuff was around, and, you know, the club was spending a lot of money on fines and stuff. So, you know, we understand the situation we're in now. We're in a better financial position. You know, it's something that we can look at.
BA, what have you made of the changes to the game this season? Has it suited your team?
At the start of the year, the penalty count probably suited the bigger teams with all the stoppages. Took us a while to get used to, you know, there's 30 to 35 penalties a game. You know, our discipline wasn't great, so we've had to work on that, and we've brought our penalty count down. And I think, you know, so we had those couple of wins a while back now. That's, you know, our last 6-7 games, we've actually probably played some good football, I think. But like I said, you know, we're finding ways to lose those games where we found ways to win them last year.
Because it just seemed like to me at the back end of last year, like, you know, your guys, high energy, like to keep the ball in play, had a smaller sort of back row, and a lot of the changes, obviously, this year, given the ball's not in play as much and the stoppage, as you just mentioned, it just seemed to have gone against your style of play.
Yeah, it did. It's not an excuse. It did. Maybe we needed to adjust it quicker than we did with it. You know, and all the GPS numbers and measures, supported that information as well. And now ball in play time for us over the last 7 weeks has gone up, and, you know, all the GPS stuff is sort of indicating the style of footy that we like to play.
BA, how frustrating has it been with all these penalties? I know from a spectator's point of view, it's an absolute nightmare. How's it been to coach with all these penalties?
Yeah, it is frustrating, especially on the trial line. You get a bit of momentum, and then, you know, there's penalty and stoppages, and it's a hard place to try and score, and, you know, and also some penalties out of red zone can really hurt you too, and give them really good field position on the back of, you know, we try and work hard on a kick chase, and you know, sometimes we've been a bit overzealous there and a bit too much energy in giving away penalties, and, you know, you're giving big sides a leg up down at the trial line, and then you give them three or four sets and they're hard to contain.
Talking to Brad Arthur, Eels coach, how difficult is a rule change mid-season, and in fact mid-week, no longer Will Smith allowed to pass the ball into somebody lying on the ground? Is it difficult through, you know, in the middle of the week to go, no, that's completely the opposite way around this weekend?
No, we, you know, obviously everyone was pushing the boundaries with that rule. I think it's a bit of common sense approach has come in with it, but, you know, while the rule's there, it's happened to us, so why wouldn't we take advantage of it?
Yeah, but yeah, why do we need to bring in a rule? Why don't they just say play on if they do a pass straight down? Why don't they just play on? What's the rule now?
Well, if you deliberately pass into that man, you can be penalised for it.
Yeah, but what if you pass the spirit backwards? Of the game? The sign is against the spirit of the game, so that's why they're going to stop throwing penalties the other way. Yeah. Hey, BA, what's the latest on Jared Hayne in terms of his injury? He's obviously been sidelined for a period.
Ran today, right, with a view of running again Monday before we announce the team on Tuesday, but there's a very good chance. He's keen to play, but we just wanted to make sure he was keen to play last week, but we maybe a week or two early last time. We just don't want to make sure there's a reoccurrence, but he's a real good chance to play.
Where do you plan to play him?
Somewhere in the backs.
get the big fella in the back. Somebody's in the middle. Get him in the middle. He'd be happy with that, VA.
Brad Arthur always makes himself available, win, lose or draw, and we really appreciate it. Thanks so much, mate.
Oh, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
It's Coach Brad Arthur somewhere in the backs. You know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to open up the vault from earlier this year just to embarrass you boys. On Saturday, Triple M NRL. Peter Sterling has walked into the building. He'll join us just after 2:30, just before 2:30, in fact, and with his take on the week. And, of course, as we head to the previews for what is a huge afternoon and evening of rugby league, the Roosters taking on the Titans. That's what you'll hear right here. The Warriors and South Sydney, the Panthers at home in a sold-out game to the Dragons, top of the table class. Just a brilliant section of rugby league for you. All right, earlier in the year, as you know, guys, we do like to open the vault at the beginning of the season just to see how well you can pick what's going to happen in the game this year. So first of all, I just want to open the vault to listen to the top eight predictions from you. Obviously, Finchy, you weren't here, so you're perfect.
You South Warriors.
You did.
St. George.
Well, the man who sits in your seat usually is Wendell Saylor. He's not here, so why don't we have a listen to his first?
I'm going the Cowboys to win it in front of the Roosters, Storm, Eels, Dragons, Bunnies. The Broncos are in there. I had the Sharks in there, but I've just thrown the Knights in there. They're that feel-good story. I want the Knights to do well.
He's right about the feel-good story of the Knights.
Yeah,
They could still sneak into the
Didn't have the Panthers in there.
Didn't have the Panthers.
No.
And he had the Cowboys up the top. Yeah, where was the vault? Why didn't the vault open? I mean, I asked for a vault to open.
The vault has
struck.
Oh, there we go. At least it was.
You
the
must have had
vault.
Wendell's tips in your pocket, Tony.
That's what happened because he wasn't here.
He's not here.
I'd been into the vault. I went on Thursday and got Wendell's tips out because he wasn't going to be here. That's now he is. That's I think explains everything. All right. Now that the vault is open, we'll go with James Hooper.
I'm going to go for the Cowboys, Tone, to win the competition or finish on top. I think Melbourne Storm second, Parramatta Eels third, Sydney Roosters fourth, Sharks, Panthers. Then I've gone for the Rabbitohs and also the Dragons to finish in eighth.
That's a pretty good eight. I'll be happy with that.
Pretty good.
No, well,
I'm the Cowboys to win it.
And Eels third. Yeah, I think we can take now the Cowboys.
Cowboys and the Eels. It's a Barry.
It's a big mistake. Yeah. But you had plenty of the ones who were in the running later on. What about you, Gerds? Ryan Girdler. Have a listen.
The Eels, the Storm, the Roosters, the Cowboys, the Sharks.
The Dragons.
The Panthers and the Rabbitohs.
Nice.
Okay, the Eels, I mean, the Eels. I think they're going to win the comp, Tony.
Tony, you set that up. You set that up. He's been working on that for the last hour and a half.
It's just nasty. It's just because he can't watch the game tonight. Yeah. I actually made those predictions before I knew Todd Greenberg and the referees were going to change the rules and make the rules suit the bigger teams and take the Eels out of the equation.
Hang on, don't blame poor Todd.
Well, I mean, who's done this to the game?
Yeah, but you pick Parra.
Who's done it? They were never a chance.
He didn't tell you to pick Parramatta.
They did the ball in play.
The whole thing that does obviously show, though, is that what we thought and what is reality is so far apart. And you mentioned earlier, we're talking about the game of the Cowboys. We did all expect, and there's no reason not to expect them to go a step further with the addition of Jonathan Thurston and Scott back. Do you think it is as simple, though, as a change of style in the game?
I think it's certainly affected some teams more than others, absolutely. And, I don't think, if the Parramatta and the Cowboys would be sort of travelling at the top of the table had those rules not come into place. I think there's an element of what's happened in their off-season and recruitment, retention, injury, all those things. Affected those teams thus far in the season. But I just thought they'd be there. I just really thought after their season last year, Parramatta, I know they lost Semi, and I don't think we all really understood what a loss he was going to be. But they brought Jared, and I thought him coming in there with the right attitude could really contribute to their cause. And he's been injured a lot, and it just hasn't gone their way. And I'm shocked. I think everyone's shocked that Parramatta are coming last.
You weren't alone. Like, there were plenty of people who expected. I think most people thought the Eels were a top four side based on what we saw them do last year. They finished in the top four. Brad Arthur's got a great record as a really good coach. And, they've been the biggest the Parramatta Eels and the Cowboys have been the biggest disappointments of the season.
Finchy, obviously you worked in the vault there, but your thoughts on the changes?
Yeah, I had Parramatta third, I think, in mine. I had Penrith fourth and Melbourne Cowboys at the top. So obviously Cowboys and Parramatta are the two biggest probably failures. Don't want to say failures, but teams have disappointed this year. I think Souths have had a really strong year. Yeah. No, I don't.
Great.
I think Gerds, did you have Souths in yours?
Yeah,
there?
I did, yeah.
But a lot of people had them around that 7, 8, 9, 10 sort of mark, but the way the footy they're playing, I think, is a huge improvement. Such a big upside to the attack of South.
Yeah, the Bunnies and the Dragons as well, Finchie. I think you had those in your eight as well, Goods. But they've really surprised a lot of sides. And that style that the Bunnies are playing, fast play the balls and lots of shifts, and it's up tempo. It's good to watch.
Yeah, it would be good to watch.
Even the Tigers, I think, even though they might not make the eight.
No, not many people had the Warriors in there, eh?
No, indeed. In fact, if we go into the vault a little bit further and dig around for Wooden Spoon, you might see the Warriors' name come out a couple of times.
Because you love the vault, Tom. How much time have you spent in the vault this week?
Most deep.
Of my life. Exactly.
Stay on the surface.
Hey, you're talking to me. Everything's just surface level. I have no depth whatsoever. Car park puddle. That's how deep I am. We went to that vault, of course, because after the first game this afternoon, we are at the halfway point of season 2018.
Can I ask Finchie a question?
Yeah, of course.
I was just going to say, I listened to Paul Green's press conference after the game last night. We're talking about, obviously, the Cowboys at the moment. He's basically at the point now where he believes that the effort's there and the energy's there. What is it for the Cowboys? And if the effort's there and the energy's there, what is it about the Cowboys this season that hasn't allowed them to win any footy games?
I just think their style, their attack, I think they need to change a bit. I'd swap Thurston and Morgan around. Just take a bit of pressure off JT. Morgan just get direct, straight over the advantage line. I thought he played a really good role last year as halfback, back end of the year. And then JT can just play out the back on some of those sweep lines. I think Morgan's just a bit more explosive up over the advantage line, so I'll just swap those two guys around.
You put Lachlan Coote back in fullback and Morgan back into the halves.
Yeah, I put Morgan back into the halves. I put him at halfback, put JT at 5'8". I just think that some of those block plays they're playing to the edges, some of their big back rowers, Hess, Taumalolo when he's on the edge, Cooper, they got so much more to offer than just jamming an inside shoulder and sometimes just give them early ball and let them play with the centre. So I just think they need to tweak a bit with their attack, because if you don't evolve with
the attack. You've seen how much Melbourne did in 1 year. You can leave teams behind.
Because if you lose a yard of pace,
yeah,
and you're getting all the good ball on the back of momentum, you're not able to challenge that line, especially, you know, those first couple of holes off the line where the defence have sort of compressed, well, then you lose your advantage, don't you? And Morgan would probably attack those lines just so
he's
much
a bit
better,
quick, a bit more robust too. Take a bit of pressure off JT. JT could do it. But, you know, at the back end of his career, he's just easing the pressure on him and getting him out a bit wider where he gets more one-on-one and he can use that dummy. He can use his speed a bit more on the edge where I just think, I think with Luke Brooks has been so, his improvement, he plays direct, digs into the line, gets up over the advantage line, gets deep in behind the markers. And I think that's what Morgan does well, and I think they'll get them. I think it'll just be a better situation for him if they swap around.
Wow.
All right, plenty to come. Stirler will join us in roughly 45 minutes. We'll throw some things at the NRL stock market next as well on Saturday Triple M NRL. You're with Brett Finch, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler and Tony Squires right now. It is time for...
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
Yes, here it is, the stock market. Throw a couple of things at you, gentlemen. See if you're buying, selling or holding. Now, we mentioned to Brad Arthur, the Parramatta coach, just at the end of that interview with him, about a rule change that was made by the NRL, not just mid-season, but just mid-week, decided that the idea of a dummy half passing the ball directly into the prone body of a bloke who's lying around in the ruck once last week constituted a penalty for the team with a ball. This week, it's a penalty for the defensive side. The rule was changed. And look, I think the players were taking the mickey a little bit. And we saw a lot of it last weekend in that round. And Todd Greenberg said, had enough bad look for the game. I'm changing it. This is a good thing, not just the rule that we've changed the rule, but the idea that we can go, yeah, you know what, we're going to change the rule right here, right now. Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, I'll buy it, Tony. I think they need to. I love them being a little bit more proactive in that department. Not just about that rule. I think making a penalty for that's a little bit, you know, it's inconvenient because you're going to have guys then throwing the football around people trying to miss them all of a sudden. Otherwise, they're going to get penalised when the guy's legitimately in the ruck trying to get out of the way and probably doing the wrong thing. So they create a rod for their own back in some degree there. But I think they need to be more proactive in relation to changing things that aren't working in the game and not taking so long to stew over the issues and waiting whole seasons before they change. Little things that can be sort of sorted out in, as we've done this week, in 1 week.
As we have.
Well, as they've done. Yep. We as a game, I mean.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Gerds. I like front foot leadership, and I think in this instance, Todd Greenberg, I spoke to him on Monday and he just said, look, I was watching the games over the weekend and it became a real trend, and he said, I just think it's against the spirit of the game. So
well,
at least
48 penalties is not a blight on the game.
I agree, but I think he just decided he didn't like that as a look. You know, clearly blokes were deliberately milking that penalty, the Will Smith one, and there was about, I think there's more than half a dozen.
That's what it is, milking. It's like when you try and milk a penalty when you're playing the ball, it just says, get up. So you disadvantage yourself because if you want to pass it in, it's play on.
Yep.
Play on, mate. We're now giving a penalty away. We're bringing 108 years of rugby league. We'll just change it after two bad pad passes and a bad look.
Do I take it you're not buying then?
No, I'm not buying. I've got no money to buy it anyway. I've got no money to buy anything here today anyway. But there's no, just if you want to do that, you just disadvantage your team, play on.
It would have seemed that was just, you know, the common sense approach for the referee should have been was play on.
Let's give the refs another rule. That's just what they need.
if the refs, and I said it last week, if the refs were out there showing a little bit of leadership and authority tone, players wouldn't do that anyway. The players are taking the mickey out of the refs at the moment in all areas, and that's just another department where if the ref had some authority, he'd go over and say, mate, you're an idiot. Don't do that again, you know, and or let play go on and say, well, you caused it. You know, we don't need... There's so many rules, there's so many changes in this game all the time, and we just don't. We're bringing another one in for absolutely no reason because we need some more leadership on the field with our officials.
That's not in the spirit of the game, but there's plenty of things not in the spirit of the game. You push to try and get an advantage for your team, whether you lay down when you get hit high or.
I do reckon it's a bad look. Because you can just tell that they're milking. The ones where they just pick it up and go bang.
Yeah. And then if you just said play on.
You'd soon stop do that.
I guess that's another way they could have done it. But
in Todd Greenberg's defence, if you also penalise them, they probably will stop doing it immediately. Yeah. I mean, there's been nothing, been no example so far.
Well, my passes, I would have got penalised three times a game. They just hit the deck.
For a few of those.
I wasn't deliberately trying to hit the player. They just kept hitting the deck.
Exactly. Oily hands. Well, you talk about that and talk about the look of the game.
Hands weren't the only thing oily, Tom.
the great man, Gus Gould, has never short on an opinion, I found, Phil Gould. He likes to express it publicly, and as he should, he's earned it, I guess, and certainly on Channel 9 this week, he had plenty to say. Have a listen to this, gentlemen.
Well, think about that. It is a farce. The refereeing is a farce. Todd Greenberg is a farce. A farce. All right? And it's destroying the game. Our game is going exactly the same way rugby went. Rugby is now nondescript in Australia. No one can watch it. No one supports it.
He can go to
is
a levity.
Is he fast? Todd Greenberg's fast.
I thought he was going to say something else for a minute.
Yes, absolutely. All right, there's Gus. And that is, that's quite a brutal examination of the game. Are you buying, selling or holding?
He's frustrated. And I think there's a lot of rugby league lovers at the moment that are frustrated, and I agree. I get, I reckon, a couple of messages a week, or when I bump into people that say I've been supporting and watching the game for 50 years, I'll show you the messages on my phone here, Tony, and I went to every Bulldogs game last year, and I don't watch it this year. Because there's rusted on fans falling off because of the stoppages and the frustration in the way that the games are being officiated, without doubt. So I'm buying. I agree. I'm not here to talk about it because we're talking the game up, and, you know, we...
Hashtag
it's the product that, you know, we spend a lot of time on every weekend. But, yeah, it's frustrating. It drives me mad, to be honest.
Okay. What are you doing, Hoops?
Yeah, I'm with Gerds. Look, I've got a lot of time and respect for Phil Gould. When you've been involved for as long as he has in the game at all the various levels that he has, then there's an argument there's nobody better qualified to comment. So if he's that frustrated, then clearly, I feel he's... He's entitled to have a crack.
Okay. Brett Finch?
Yeah, I'm borrowing some money off Gerds and I'm buying as well.
Not until you pay back what you loaned last time.
A last snip.
Well, I won't be buying for about another 18 months. I remember being out there at Penrith and the Tigers. It was 9-1 at half time.
Yeah.
Penrith had a Merrin in the bin in the second half. The Tigers had a player in the bin that ended up 11-all. Like, it's just... it's a farce, as Gus said. I think it is. I think they're going out with preconceived ideas to blow penalties instead of just getting the feel for the game. And I agree with Gus.
All right. Well, we certainly hope not going to see that in Origin. Traditionally, it's been one of
those. Well, how do you know? What are they going to do with Origin?
Not, surely. Well, you just go the traditional Origin refereeing technique, don't you?
I don't know.
Put the whistle away.
What have you heard? The whistle's coming out in Origin.
I don't know. I don't know.
No, surely not.
All right, just quickly, last one on the stock market. As we have just spoken to Brad Arthur, he mentioned that reshuffle that they've gone, Corey Norman going to the back. 5'8", Clint Gutherson, when they worked sort of for them and then they had a loss. Are you for that? Are you buying or selling?
Sorry, I was still thinking about the last one we were talking about, Tony. I'm frustrated. What is it?
Corey Norman fullback, Clint Gutherson at
I'm
six.
Buying. I actually liked it. I thought I was up there and watched that game, and I liked the way it sort of allowed Corey Norman to play both sides of the field, and he could sort of inject himself when he liked. He talks a lot, so defensively I thought they were pretty tight as well, and I think it allows Moses more autonomy over the footy side, and they're not sort of clashing too much and changes their roles up, and I think it's a good move.
Okay. What do you think, Finchie?
Yeah, I think it is a good move too. I think Gutho's probably a bit better defensively, bigger body in the front line, real energetic, plenty of talk in that front line, and you're right, Normie just takes a bit of pressure off him, can float either side of the field. He's not locked into one side, and I think wherever you put Gutho, he's going to play with plenty of energy and enthusiasm, and he did the other night.
Oops.
Yeah, I'm buying as well with Corey Norman at fullback, and then you get Jared Hayne back into the side as well, hopefully for this game coming up against the Knights. Let's have another crack.
I'm still upset about not being able to watch the game tonight. Mm. We heard from Brad Arthur that he exclusively, that'll be playing in the backs, Jared Hayne. He's about to reveal.
What
so
about
far.
You pick the phone up and reach out to Rosie and just say, I've got a great idea. Let's go up to the Lord Nelson. And let's go up to the Lord Nelson mosh out for dinner.
Not happening. What is happening is that Finchie will reveal his Origin side in the next hour very shortly. We'll be joined by Peter Sterling as well, all heading towards kickoff. The Roosters taking on the Titans. Saturday, Triple M, NRL.